Well, our passage for this morning, the sermon for this morning, comes from Ephesians chapter 4. So if you haven't already done so, you're welcome to turn in your copy of God's Word to Ephesians chapter 4. And if you have a Pew Bible, I think you'll find it on page 977. And we're going to be looking at chapter 4, verses 7 through 16. But before we hear the word read and preached, would you join with me and pray for the Lord's blessing on the reading and preaching of his word? O Lord, our God, we thank you for your word, which is living and active, is able to pierce through to the division of joint and marrow, soul and spirit, is able to convict, to convert, is able to sanctify, to cleanse, is able to open blind eyes. And so, Lord, we pray for the work of your word this morning. And we know, Lord, that if we hear your word, but your spirit does not attend that word in power and to our sanctification, then we will leave here unchanged and untouched. But Lord, we don't want to leave unchanged by your word. So we ask, Lord, for the presence and the working, the power of your spirit. I ask, Lord, that you would bless your servant as I preach, that you would give me clarity, boldness, power. And Lord, we ask that you would give all of us meek hearts to receive your word, ears to hear, that we might see Jesus and his glory, and that we might go forth in joy and in sanctified by your word. So, Lord, we ask these things for the sake of your name. And it's in Jesus that we pray. Amen. Ephesians chapter 4, beginning at verse 7. Hear God's holy, inspired, inerrant word. But grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore it says, when he ascended on high, he led a host of captives, and he gave gifts to men. In saying he ascended, what does it mean but that he had also descended into the lower regions, the earth? He who descended is the one who also ascended far above all the heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers, to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children, tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. Well, church, it's Christmas. And I don't mean that they're starting to play songs about Santa Claus on the radio. But it's Christmas in the church. Christmas began at Pentecost, and it's still happening. And that's what we see. This passage here is actually about Christmas in the church. Now, usually we think about Christmas as a holiday where we reflect on God's gift to us by giving us the Lord Jesus. But here we see that Pentecost really is a Christmas for the church. And that at Pentecost, Christ lavished gifts upon his church. He gave gifts to men. And those gifts that he gave have a purpose: to grow his church into the full stature that he desires. Now, as we walk through this passage, I want to look through it in 3 points. First, we're going to look at the first point is that Christ gave gifts to the church. Secondly, we're going to look at the goal of those gifts. And thirdly, we're going to look at how Christ grows his church. So the outline for this passage just follows those 3 points: the gifts, the goal, and the growth. And we'll see that the theme of this passage for the church, the theme, the message that the Spirit has for you, Bridgeton, New Hope of Bridgeton today, is that Christ gave you gifts to grow the church. Christ gave you gifts to grow the church. So first, Christ gave gifts to the church. Look at how this passage begins in verse 7. But grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. Grace was given to each one of us. Now, when when Paul here is speaking about the grace given to each one of us, he's not speaking about saving grace, but he's talking about the gifts that come with the Spirit. If you are a Christian, a true Christian, you are a member of Christ's body, you have the Spirit in you. And if you have Christ's Spirit in you, you have a gift that Christ has given to you. And as we walk through this passage, I want you to reflect on what is your gift? Do you know the gift that Christ has given to you? And are you exercising that gift? Now, grace was given to each one of us. It says, according to the measure of Christ's gift. Now, the gift that it's speaking about here is the gift of the Holy Spirit. So, Christ gave the gift of the Holy Spirit to the church, and with the gift of the Holy Spirit came grace to every member of the church. And when did Christ pour out his Spirit on the church? When was Christmas? At Pentecost. And that's what it speaks about here in verse 8. Therefore, it says, when he ascended on high, he led a host of captives, and he gave gifts to men. So all throughout the Old Testament, as the scriptures are speaking about the coming of this Messiah, one of the things that we see the prophets testifying to is that when the Messiah comes and he's exalted, he is going to pour out his gifts upon his people. Now, here Paul is actually quoting from Psalm 68. When did Christ give gifts to the church? When he ascended on high. Psalm 68. When he ascended on high, he led a host of captives, and he gave gifts to men. And this comes from the image. And if you read Psalm 68, you see this picture of God ascending. God ascending. And it says, leading a host of captives in his train, that his enemies, leading his enemies in his train, and giving gifts to his people. This was something in the ancient world when a general or an emperor conquered, or a king conquered a people. As they were marching back, they were in this victory march, as they came back and entered into, you know, the capital, leading the train of their enemies and all the spoils of war. And then the king would give out those spoils to his people. And that's the image that we see pictured for us in Psalm 68. That God is going to ascend as the victor and hand out spoils to his people. But that kind of brings up a question: how can God ascend if he is God? Right? Isn't God reigning on the throne? Hasn't he been reigning on the throne from the beginning of creation, from time eternity? Well, how can the scripture say that God would ascend? God can ascend because he also descended. That's what he says here, verse 9. In saying he ascended, what does it mean? But that he had also descended into the lower regions, the earth. And this is the glory of the incarnation, that God, who is God from all eternity, and God the Son, the Word, who was with God in the beginning, who was God, a little over 2,000 years ago, took on flesh, and he descended from his position, from his throne as God, and took on the form of a servant, 100% God, 100% man. And he took on the form of a human servant, becoming obedient to the Father, obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Philippians 2. And why did he take on flesh and descend? He descended to save his people. Jesus, the God-man, the one man without sin, became sin on the cross in obedience to the Father. And he was nailed to the tree to take your sins and my sins, removing the curse of the law. And so if you're here this morning and you know Christ Jesus, he knows you, he is your Savior, know that he descended for you. He took all of your sins, and he was nailed to the tree, and he removed all your sin. But he not only removed the penalty of your sin, but he overcame the power of your sin by putting sin to death in his body. And he triumphed over your sin. He triumphed over Satan, the one who held you captive in the cross. That's what Colossians 2 says, right? He triumphed over the spiritual authorities, right, on the cross. He triumphed over them in his cross, putting them to open shame. So this is the good news. And if you came here this morning and you are burdened by your sin, know that you have a Savior who took all of your sin and has set you free from condemnation and from the bondage of sin. And if you're here this morning and you don't know Christ, you look at yourself and you say, no, I'm covered in my sin and guilt. I don't have peace with God, and I see that I'm a slave. Look to Jesus. Look up. Look to Jesus, the one who descended to that cross and rose again to bring life and light, life to light. So Christ is the one who descended. And then Philippians 2, he humbled himself to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God highly exalted him and gave him the name that is above every name. So because of Jesus' obedience, the Father exalted him as he rose from the grave, as he ascended to heaven at the right hand of the Father. So when did Christ ascend? When he went back to the Father. And having gone back to the Father, he received the gift of the Spirit to give to his people. Listen to what the prophet Isaiah says in Isaiah chapter 53. This is the Lord speaking to the Messiah, his son, right? The Lord Jesus. Therefore, I will divide him a portion with the many, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he poured out his soul to death and was numbered with the transgressors. So because Jesus was numbered as a transgressor and was put to death for our sin. Therefore, the Father exalted him and said, I will divide the spoil with him, and he shall give the spoils of the victory. And what is the great gift that Christ poured out? It's the Holy Spirit. And so we see here in Acts chapter 2, Christ, he rises from the dead, appears to his disciples. Then it says, I'm going back to the Father, but wait around until I send the promised Holy Spirit, the promised gift. And then 50 days later, it's day of Pentecost. Peter stands up to preach, and they're filled with the Holy Spirit. And listen to what Peter says. This Jesus God raised up, and of that we are all witnesses. Being therefore exalted at the right hand of God, and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he has poured out this that you yourselves are seeing and hearing. So Christmas began on the day of Pentecost. Jesus poured out the Holy Spirit, and with the Holy Spirit came gifts to his people. So again, if you are part of Christ's body, if you have received the gift of the Holy Spirit, you have a gift for the church. Right? But grace was given to each one of us. A gift was given to each one of us. Now, you might be thinking, well, I mean, I know a few people in the church that I would say have gifts, are pretty gifted people, but I'm not a gifted person. And me? I have a gift for the church? What's my gift? I don't know my gift. Or maybe you could say I had this gift, but I'm such a weak person. How could I be of any use to the church? And I think that's what most in my experience as I speak to people in churches, that's probably the posture, the experience of most Christians. But as Christmas begins and we start opening up the packages, look at the first gifts that we see. Christ gives leaders. Look at verse 11. And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, and the pastors' teachers. So we're opening up gifts, right? It's Christmas. And first we see the apostles and the prophets given to the church. Now, who are the apostles and the prophets? The apostles were those who were commissioned, personally commissioned by Christ to be eyewitnesses and to proclaim the gospel message with authority to the world. And they were given to lay the foundation of the church. And with the apostles, Christ gave the prophets. And who were the prophets? The prophets were those who were speaking also with authority from the Holy Spirit, speaking to the church in a time before the all the teachings of the apostles had been inscripturated, put into scriptures permanently for the church. So at that time, Christ gave prophets to help guide and grow the people in knowledge and wisdom. But the apostles and prophets, as a gift, were given to lay the foundation of the church. And when you look back at Ephesians 2, as Paul describes the church, it says the church is being built upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets. Now, when you build a foundation in a house, once the foundation is built, do you build another foundation on top of that? No, once the foundation is laid, you begin building the walls. And you put the roof on, you begin filling it. And so we don't have apostles and prophets today. But their authoritative witness has been preserved for the church now in the Word of God. But as we're opening up gifts, we see not only the apostles and the prophets, but the evangelists and the pastors' teachers, or the shepherds and teachers. Now, who are the evangelists and the pastors' teachers? The evangelists and pastors' teachers are ongoing gifts, ongoing offices in the church that have the function of both gathering in evangelists and building up the pastors and teachers. The evangelists are leading the charge and gathering in Christ's sheep, and the pastors and teachers are leading the charge in teaching and building up the body of Christ in holiness and in truth. So we have the apostles and prophets, the evangelists, and the pastors, teachers. But I want you to notice here that as Christ gave these gifts of the offices to the church, look at why they were given. Again, looking at verse 11, he gave the evangelists and the pastors, teachers, verse 12, to equip the saints for the work of ministry. Did you know you're called to ministry? If you are a Christian, you've been called to ministry. Now, I know we talk about being called to the ministry, and we use that phrase to refer to those who are being called to an ordained office, right? Not everybody's called to be an ordained minister, ordained evangelist. But you are called to ministry. And the leaders are given as gifts by Christ to equip you for your ministry. So you have a part to play in the work and the ministry of the church. And that's why leaders are given to you. So first consider how your pastors, evangelists and pastors, your elders, are Christ's gift to you. You ever think about that? The pastor, Claude Taylor, Pastor Church, are Christ's gift to you. But why does he give them as gifts? To equip you for the work of ministry. Amazing. So do you come to church on Sunday? Do you come to Bible study? Do you meet with your session to be equipped? Come on the Lord's Day. Come to the gathering of God's people with a heart, with a desire, with a posture. Come to be equipped for the ministry that the Lord has for you. So that's our first point. Christ gave gifts to the church. And you have been gifted by Christ for the church. But moving more quickly, I want to go through the second two points. What is the reason for your gifts? What is the goal? This takes us to a second point. Verse 12, to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for the building up of the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So what is the goal? Christ's goal for his church? What is his goal for the gifts that he gave to you and to all the members of the church? The goal is that the church, which is his body, would reach the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, would reach the full measure of the stature of Christ. The church is Christ's body, and that body is meant to grow to its full stature. I've got nieces and nephews. My nephew, Ezra, is 6, and so he's, you know, about 3.5 feet tall, and he is a true person, but he hasn't yet reached his full stature. And he looks, you can see something of what he is like now and in his body, but he's still growing. And there's going to come a point where he will one day reach his full stature. The church is the body of Christ. And you can see in the body of Christ, you see something of Christ. You see something of who Christ is in his body. But the church has not yet reached the full stature of Christ. And that is his goal. Now, I want you to notice that here, as Paul is speaking about the growth of the body of Christ, growing into maturity, that he's speaking corporately here. He's not just saying that Christ desires that you as an individual would become like Christ. Now, that is true. That is Christ's desire. And that is your great hope. That's our great hope, that one day we shall see him as he is, because we shall be like him. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. But here, he's speaking corporately, that Christ wants his body, the church, to reach its full stature. Now, when does Christ's body reach its full stature? Well, it will reach the full stature when two things happen. Number one, when all of Christ's sheep are gathered in. When all of Christ's missing sheep are gathered in. The body won't reach its full stature until all of Christ's members are gathered in. Do you realize there are people right now that are still lost, wandering in darkness, separated from God, and yet who are part of Christ's body, who are people, are members that Christ died for 2,000 years ago, that Christ came to seek and to save, that have not yet been gathered in. Some of those people are living in your neighborhood. Some of those people are among your relatives. Some of those people are among your coworkers. But there are Christ's missing sheep out there. And Christ desires that his body would grow to its full stature, that they would be gathered in. And you have an opportunity to be an instrument of those gathering in. And Christ equipped his body with you in order to gather those people in. But secondly, Christ's body reaches its full stature, not only when all of Christ's people are gathered in, but when the church perfectly reflects the image of Christ. When the church is full of the shine of Christ and the glory of his Spirit. When the church displays, right, in perfect reflection, the generosity of Christ, the love of Christ, the patience of Christ, the zeal of Christ, the humility of Christ. When the church displays and people look and say, wow, Christ, I see Christ there. I see Christ, and the aroma just exudes from his people. That is when the body reaches the full measure of Christ. And that happens as his people are sanctified by his word, are transformed by the renewal of their mind. And you can see here why Christ gave evangelists and pastors, teachers, to equip the saints for the work of ministry. Because the work of ministry has those two goals in view: the gathering in of all of Christ's members and the sanctifying, the building up of the members. And that's what the evangelists and pastors, teachers lead the church in. So that's the goal, that we would reach the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. But then lastly, how does that growth come about? How do we reach that goal? Well, the growth comes first when every part is working, when every member is doing its part. Look at verse 15. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. So the church grows when every member is doing his part. So we don't have in view here a passive church. So often we view the church, the work of ministry, as the work of the special few. And that's what we pay an evangelist for, to gather in the lost. That's what we pay the pastor for, to build up the saints. But here, we see that they were given to equip all the saints for the work of ministry, and gifts were given to each one of you. And when each of you are doing its part, when each member of the body is doing its part, then the body grows up. Every member of the body, every part is important. Every part is important. In fact, every part is essential. You might be thinking, well, okay, maybe I've got a gift, but it's not a very important gift. It's not a very big gift. It's not a very impressive gift. So if I didn't show up to church, if I kind of drifted away, the church wouldn't even notice. Right? The church wouldn't be any worse for it. Well, let me ask you a question. The pancreas is a very small organ. But if your pancreas was removed from the body, how would your body fare? It would have pretty disastrous consequences. Your whole body would feel it. You'd begin to understand. I mean, you know, who here, unless you have diabetes, who here even thinks about their pancreas? But the moment that your pancreas is not working properly, right, you know it. You know it. And so when each member, the smallest member of the body, is not doing its part, the body feels it. And the body suffers. Or you might think, well, I don't think even I really have a gift. I don't think I'm necessary for the church because I don't even know my gift. The appendix. For years, the evolutionary biologist said, oh, the appendix, right, it doesn't do anything for the body. You can take it out, and it's a vestige of, you know, evolutionary development. And surprise, surprise, in recent years, it appears the appendix is an important part of, is a function of the lymph system. It's important for the health of the body. Every member, and you, brothers and sisters, if you are a member of Christ's body, you are necessary for the growth of the body. And the exercise of your gifts are necessary for the growth of the body, for the gathering in and building up. So you have a ministry. You have a part to play. Maybe your part is maybe you have a speaking gift, and your part is in sharing and speaking to people about the Lord, or encouraging brothers and sisters. Maybe you think, well, you know, I'm not very smart. I know I'm not a teacher. I don't know a lot of theology. I guess I'm not very useful. Maybe your part, maybe you have a real ministry of prayer in the church. I think one of the most untapped resources in the church are the retired people, retired brothers and sisters, who now don't have the energy to go out and to, you know, to be on ladders and energy to be engaged outside a lot. But you have a resource of time, more time than you've had in years. If the retired population, if the retired people in the church gather together regularly to pray for the gathering and the building of the church, how would the Lord bless the church? And maybe you say, well, you know, I'm not really kind of an evangelist. I'm not gifted at that kind of thing. How would I be used to gather in the lost? Maybe you have the gift of hospitality. You know what? I'm not going to like lead an evangelistic conversation, but I've got a home and I love to cook, and I can provide a meal in a context where we can invite guests from over the church. And so-and-so who's got that gift of speaking about the Lord can exercise that gift. You all have gifts. You have a gift. You've got a word to speak to somebody today after the service to encourage them. Christ has given to you to encourage and build up someone else, to build up the body. So the growth happens when every part, every member is doing his part, when every member is working. But secondly, the growth happens as God's people live in community. As God's people live in community. Look at verse 16. From whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped. Joined and held together. The image here is of members of the body who are interconnected and helping one another to grow up. If you've ever known someone who's had a big toe amputated, they can tell you how important the toe is for the balance of the body. It's another one of those parts of the body you'd never think too much about until you don't have it. But if your big toe said, you know what, I don't need the body here, and the big toe separates itself from your body, you're going to be in trouble. You're not going to be able to balance very well. But that toe works when it's joined together with the foot, which is joined together with the ankle, joined together with the leg, right? Joined together with the body. The body works, each part works properly as it's joined together. And so it is with the body. Your gift is exercised and utilized in the growth of the church as you live in intimate community, as you are doing life together. Do you live in community with the body? Now you might think, well, you don't know me. I am busy. I'm a businessman. I've got a job. I have, I'd love to spend time with some of the young men at the church on Saturday, but I got a ton of chores to do at the home. I got to clean out the gutters. I got to rake the yard. I don't have time. You know what? Invite the young men to your house to help you clean the gutters and do the chores around the house. And now you'll have conversation, and they'll begin to learn from you as they observe the way you interact with your family, your wife, you manage your household, the way you work. And you'll be blessed through the work. Maybe you think, I'd love to invest in the younger women in the church, but, you know, I'm... and some of the single women, but I'm a busy mom. I've got 5 kids, and I got tons of, I've got laundry to do. I've got chores to run. I've got to go to the grocery store. I don't have time to work with the young women in the church. Invite the young women to your house. Invite them over to help you with your chores, to go shopping. And you have conversation, and now you're doing life together, and now they're observing, they're seeing the way you manage your household, and they'll be a blessing to you. The church grows when it lives in community. Your gifts will be exercised as you work together in community, as you do life together. So the growth comes in community. But lastly, the growth comes from Christ in you. The growth comes from Christ in you. Look at again at how this passage ends. At verse 16, from whom, right, Christ, from whom the whole body, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. So who is it that grows the church? Who is it that grows the church? Is it Christ? Or is it the body, the members of the body? Well, yes. Christ is the one who makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. Christ is using you as his body, as members of his body, as he's gifted you, as he's given you a spirit. And as you exercise the gift that God's given you, you make the body grow, one another. You are building one another up. But the source is Christ. Christ is the one who makes the body grow as Christ works in and through you. And this just reminds us, right, that as the church grows, it will only come as you are connected to the head, who is the source. And that's why at the center of the life of the body of Christ and at the center of your walk is communion with Christ and must be communion with him. Knowing him. This is why earlier says, until you attain the unity of faith and the knowledge of the Son of God to mature in manhood. You grow as you grow closer to the source, the head, as you grow closer to Christ. Do you come to church on the Lord's Day to draw near to Christ, to get to know Christ more? Do you open up the Word daily and go through your Bible reading to get to know the person of Christ more, to draw near to him? Do you meet together and do you pray to draw near to Christ? Do you pray with one another to hear the Spirit in them to get to know Christ more? That is the source. So, people of God, Christmas started at Pentecost and it has continued and it continues. If you are part of Christ's body, Christ has given you a gift. He's given you a gift if you have his Spirit. But he's given you that gift with a goal to build up the body till it reaches the full measure of Christ, till all his members, all his missing sheep are gathered in, and that body fully reflects the beautiful glory and shine of Jesus. But that growth happens as each member is working properly, as you are equipped by your pastors and your teachers, and as you're using your gifts in community, as you're doing life together with one another as the body of Christ, and as you are connected to the head, to Jesus, and you commune with him. Christ gave you gifts to grow his church. And so may the Lord strengthen you. May the Lord give you grace, and each of you grace to grow in your gifts and the exercise of your gift, so that we might see Christ's body reach his full measure, even here in Bridgeton. Amen. Father, we thank you for this word. Lord Jesus, we praise you as our Savior, as our Lord, as the one who descended to redeem us from our sin, as the one who ascended and poured out your Spirit to fill us with all that we need so that the body of Christ might grow and we all might together reach the full measure of Christ. Lord, it is our desire to see all of your missing sheep gathered in. It's our desire for this church to grow in the reflection of Christ, in the presence and the aroma of Christ. And so we ask, Lord, for your blessing as we seek to use our gifts and build one another up. And we ask these things in Christ's name. Amen.